Tonight's theme is hearing the Rhema word. Now, a lot of you don't know what Rhema is. Hang on. I'm going to explain to you in a second. But that's where we're at tonight. Hearing the Rhema word. Next slide, quickly. Who of you remembered this? Last year. Who was here last year? When we did the Discovering the Prophetic series. I got some feedback from some people that was their favorite series of last year. Now, the two run together in a way, hearing God's voice and talking about the prophetic. There's a time when they cross over, all right? But I'm going to try and be in a different box than with that sermon series. And I'll sum it up like this. When we talk about the prophetic gifts and how God uses us prophetically, we will talk about that again, maybe the end of this year or maybe next year. We are talking then about how God wants to speak to us, mainly to speak through us. Alright? When we talk about hearing God's voice, now in this 3-week series, we want to ask the question, is this God speaking to me? And just stop there for now. Make sense? Just to put them each in their own category. I've taken some of the material we use there, changed it a bit because they do overlap, but we will be taking a different route. Okay, please go with me. You can follow on the screen, or you may go in your Bibles to Isaiah 50. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Obeys the voice of his servant? They're talking about Jesus here in this chapter. Alright? Who obeys the voice of Jesus? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Alright. When this scripture mentions the word darkness, in this example, you'll see in a while when we go on to the next slide, it is not talking about you being without God, alright? Sometimes we mention I can be in darkness, or I can know Jesus who is the light. Are you with me? In this example, that's not what the writer is talking about. What the writer is saying is, even if you know God, even if you love him, pray to him daily, read your Bible, have a small group, have done all the foundations, all those things. There will be times when you are not 100% sure what's going to happen next. That's the darkness we're talking about here. There's times when you are not going to be 100% sure what to do because something happened that you did not plan for. Who experienced that before in life? Right? You can do what you want. You cannot predict when Christ comes back. Bible is clear. We are in the darkness regards to that topic. Are you with me? That's how we're using the word. We are not in spiritual darkness. We are awakened. We will live forever. When he's coming back, we don't know. Right? I don't know when I will die. Alright? I know every day I am a day closer, but I'm not sure I'm in darkness when it comes to that. Is that okay? Can we agree on that? And I don't know where I will be in 10 years. I can say by faith that there's some things I know. If I am here in 10 years' time, I will still be worshipping Jesus. I say that, I know that, I pray that, done. So there's some light in my darkness. Is that okay? I know that if I have died before 10 years, I will be with God. So there's broad terms in which I know my future, but within those almost lies, I don't know what's going to happen. It's a bit like a rugby game, all right? Sorry for the analogies. My team lost yesterday. I've already had a mouthful. Please don't persecute me anymore. I am broken, all right? But you know when the game is. You know it's going to be between four lines. And you know where it is. But you don't know what's going to happen, all right? And that's a bit with life. Someday I'm going to die. I'm going to be with Christ while I live and I'm serving. Where am I going to be in 5 years' time? Not so sure. In darkness. Everyone with me? But let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Right? God is okay. Write this down if you've got a book and put it on your fridge because this will help you. God is okay with you being overwhelmed at times in circumstances. He's okay with that. I'm not sure. This makes me scared. Being overwhelmed, being not sure, he's okay with that. He knows it's going to happen. He's got some answers here for us. I want to say a few things. We never upgrade to the place in our lives where we are God, knowing what will happen, foreseeing tragic events, etc. Okay? Life is unpredictable, and this world is broken. Everything. Everything is broken. People, the weather, planets bump into one another. We have to deal with it. In some areas of our lives, it's uncertain to be in the darkness. But listen up. God is the same yesterday, today, and okay. So we have a rock. I'm going somewhere with this. There is certainty within our uncertainty. God is our certainty. That's all we have. Alright? And so he says, as we walk in life, there will be times when you will be overwhelmed, frightened, you'll have questions, you'll be sad. Those are the times of darkness. God says, rely on me. Now, the very next verse describes the opposite. Why am I dwelling on this? We're talking about hearing God's voice for your life, which may include, in broad terms, what God is saying to you, where you're going, that He loves you, that you must turn to Him, or very, what is your next best step? All right? Behold, all you who kindle a fire. We just spoke about a person who was in darkness and he trusted on God. Now, behold, all you who kindle a fire, who equip yourselves with burning torches, who walk by the light of your fire. Can you see everything is turned back to me? And the torches you have kindled, this you have from my hand, you shall lie down in torment. That does not sound too kind. Alright? Don't worry. We're here to follow God, so we'll be okay. What God is saying, there's a place in my life when I'm in darkness, when I'm unsure, where I'm stressed, where I take matters into my own hand. I do what I want to do, when I want to do it. And shut up if you want to tell me something. You know what I'm talking about. Alright? And God is saying, watch out for that in your life. When you are unsure, when you are uncertain, look at me. Seek for me. Read the scriptures. Go, ask your fellow believers. Be in community and obey me in times of uncertainty. It is so easy to light your own torch. Do your own thing. I know the Bible says this, but this is safe for me. Watch out. Watch out. I know God is clear about how He wants to love me and how He wants to send someone in my life and He's got a husband for me at the right time. But for now, I want to do what? I want to watch out. It never ends well. We're talking about the voice of God. God leading, God when God wants to speak to you and be kind to you. So in a way, what I want you to think about this scripture is take the fire extinguisher and when it comes to your own plans and ideas, blow everything dead. Okay? Say, God, blank page, talk to me, speak to me. Make sense? That's where we're at, starting this sermon series. Lord, I've got so many plans, so many things. My parents have been doing for years. I've been doing for years or months. And this has not been good to me. Right now I turn to you. I put this fire out. Now you be my light, Jesus. And lead me. Everyone with me? Great stuff. Take your mic and say, bless your feet. Where I come from, you can say, bless your feet. Here you must say, put water on the charcoal. Because we cry with hope, right? But I'm converted. I use my charcoal as well. Now, I'm saying two or three more things before I'm going to go into ways God speaks to us. Before I want to rush into how He speaks, I quickly want to lay a bit more foundation that's almost like the backdrop for where we go. Can we go to that that scripture in John 10, please? Right, let's go through this slowly and just work through this. The sheep hear His voice. Jesus is telling it, He's giving an analogy of shepherd and sheep, right? He's the shepherd and He says, the sheep hear His voice. He calls His own sheep by name and He leads them out. When He has brought out all His own, He goes before them and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from Him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This is amazing. By the way, this scripture works its way up to the verse that says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I've come to give you life. Jesus is giving us a lifeline. He's saying, I'm walking and I am calling. Follow me. He's not going to push me, trip me in the right direction, put me in a God-created prison cell, lock the door, and then take me where He wants me to be. He's walking and gently voicing out to me, calling to me, follow me. I'm going this way. This is the way you should go. Follow me. And you will have life in abundance. I'm just going to give you three things. It's not on the screen. You can write it down and remember. Number one, He speaks to those who love Him. He speaks to His followers. Some of you are here because He spoke to you. You don't even know it, but you knew you had to be here tonight. He led you here. You're not here by accident. Amen. Number two is an encouragement. Follow Him from my side. Follow Him. He's walking ahead of you. He's speaking to you. And I'm encouraging you. Follow Him. We're putting out all our own fires, all our own way, all our ways, all our plans, and we're saying we want to follow Him. The third thing I want to say, just taking from the scripture, there is voices in our lives which is not from God. In this analogy, they speak about strangers. Okay? There is voices in your life, in your heart, in your emotions. That is not from God. Just know that. We'll talk about that as this sermon series goes on. But it's a fact that needs to be up there. Everyone happy with me for now? Happy with that slide? Right. Okay, gathering and testing. Beloved, still laying information. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Another name for Satan is what? The father of lies. Okay? So when he sends demons or evil spirits into this world, mostly they come with a lie. And that lie, once you're born into it, causes you to put up your own fires and try to make life work for yourself. And it normally gets you in big trouble. Okay? It can be a lie from something like, you are really, really, really not a beautiful person. And no one likes you. You're not accepted. And that, once you buy that lie, it's going backwards. It hurts you when it comes to being yourself and what God created you to be, because a lying spirit has sold a lie to you. All right, it can hurt your finances. It can end up in surgery. I mean, don't do it. Okay. Okay. He's the father of lies. So the Bible says we must test every spirit. Is this the Holy Spirit speaking to you, or is it not? That's the question. How do you hear God's voice? Is this the Holy Spirit or is this the devil that wants to steal from me, that's here to lie to me? This is something that my mom used to say many years. She was maybe a negative person, and now this thing is also in my head. Or is it the bad pizza I ate from Romans that's speaking to me at this moment? Okay. There's many voices, and so we need not to believe everything that comes into our thoughts. Do you know, it is the stupidest thing to say. Try it, and you will be sorry. This thing. They've heard it on movies. I always knock this example. Please have patience with me. Especially Seven the Lion. Okay. So this guy's on his third wife. Alright. But my heart told me that I must take this new wife. And I must always do what my heart said. Boom. Alright. My heart, okay, is deceitful above all things. That's what the Bible says. I must bring my heart to God that He may change my heart. Alright? So my heart, especially my feelings and my emotions, is often the pipe through which these lies come. It's my heart that's telling me I'm not beautiful enough. It's my heart that's telling me to buy something that I know is going to hurt our budget this month. My wife might well have trouble, but it's my heart that's telling me, don't follow your heart, please. Jesus. Alright? Is that okay? Can we agree on that? Right. We take our hearts to Him. And you know what? He does change our hearts. And sometimes what happens is our desires changes to be more like Him. It does happen. But we can never take our feelings as the true north. Our emotions as the truth. Do you agree with me? Awesome. Awesome. Now, tonight we're going to talk about gathering. We can just quickly hold back, please, Paul. Gathering information. There's many ways in which God can speak to us, but there's many ways through which the enemy can also sow lies to us. Often it can be the same things, alright? Gathering those information, how does it come to you? In which shape and form? That's where we're tonight. Next week, we're moving on to how do you test what you received, alright? Because you maybe in one day can write down a whole page of emotions, things you think that God is saying, ways He's leading you. You write it all down. That would be, for example, tonight. Next week we're going to the test. Which of these things is from God and which not? Will that be helpful? Great. Right, let's go on. This is our last point before we get into it. Logos and Rhema. Now, can I quickly get a Bible? Okay, the Logos Word of God, listen, there's many ways to which God speaks. In broad terms, we can put it in two different faculties. Number one is the Logos Word. It refers to the total inspired Word of God, right? That's the Bible. And it also refers to Jesus. John 1, Jesus says, I am the Word, right? Jesus is the Word of God walking. Everything Jesus does and say, that is God's Word coming alive. Alright? So if you think about Logos, you're thinking about what cannot be changed. The Word of God and everything written about Jesus in here, what it says, Logos. It is steady. No one can add to this. No one can change this. It's rock solid. Are you with me? Okay? God doesn't change His mind about this. Never has and never will. And He sends Jesus to fulfill every single prophecy told about Him in years past to come and show that what was written in the Old Testament is true within a person, Jesus, the Logos Word. When you learn something in here, when you read something and it's applicable to your life, it's God's Word to you, it's spoken, you don't have to pray about it. Did you know that? When the Bible say, okay, Jesus Christ died for your sin, for those who are at starting point, Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Nothing can change that. You don't gather that and then you try and test it. It is tested. If it's in here, it's true. Are you with me? So you don't need confirmation whether you can give your life to Jesus. Can we agree on that? It is in here. Okay? It is done. And so everything we teach you at Starting Point, and we try and bring what God is saying in His Word through church, small group. When it's in here, it's easy. Alright? But the problem is, where are you working today? The toys with you at Sasol, big surprise. There's nothing about Sasol in the Bible. Okay? So for Toy to need specific guidance, he wants God to speak to him specifically about his situation. Agreed? And that's where the Rhema word comes in. Okay? Rhema actually means an utterance. Something is said. Okay? So when we come to intercession on a Monday night, intercession is prayer. It's our prayer time. We come with the Bible, which is 100% true. No doubt, no problem. But we pray, we say, Lord, what do you want us to do in this church, for this congregation, in the next few months? Speak to us. And the Holy Spirit gives us a picture, or a word, or a scripture, and He leads us specifically to our situation. We have waited on God for a rhema word. Does that make sense? Alright, I need rhema word in my life. I needed a rhema word so that I could move from Cape Town with my wife to Secunda. Because there's nothing about Secunda in there. Alright? But He spoke to me. And it, I was so sure about it, and people confirmed it. Does it make sense? Rhema, logos. Tonight we're busy with rhema. The way He speaks when it's not in here. Okay. That's where we're at tonight. So one more slide on this. The logos and the rhema, we explain it as two different things, but in one way it's the same. It's one in that it often happens together, and rhema often comes from knowing logos. If you don't know the Bible, you will be very, very bad at discerning God's voice. Can I just give you an example? So the Bible actually says, some of you will, don't fall off your chair, okay? But the Bible actually say, pay your taxes. Did you know that? It is in the Bible, alright? So if I have a business, I'm very good with makeup, for example. Let's say I have a makeup business. And now someone pays me 20,000 rand cash, and there's a voice speaking to me, let's call it a rhema, that if you take that 20,000 and you put it somewhere in your house, you don't put it on your books, you know what? You can give a lot of people money at the robots. Let me tell you what, that is not God speaking to me. Did you know that? I can take that money, alright? But that was not God saying that to me. That was me. That was another spirit. Are you with me? But if I knew the word of God, and that moment I got that thought, I could just say, boom. And I can think about Google's right or something, and not worry about that 20,000 rand stealing. Okay? By knowing the word of God, you save yourself a lot of time, a lot of effort in your mind. When a lie comes, like, what a joke. I often tell the enemy, you try and take me with this thought. This is lame. I pray and I say, that's a lie. I think this thing, I bind it. And I walk on. I don't phone a pastor. I don't phone my wife. It is done. It's in the Word. No problem. Okay? Make sense? Awesome. Even with contemporary leadings, that means something specific to today. Sasol, Secunda, your life, contemporary, okay? It must then be evaluated by God's word and Jesus' example. Does this fit into the framework of who Jesus is? Alright? So you get an idea. What Murray did is he said something about my wife. Alright? And it was not something nice. And I am not happy. So I lie in bed, and it can even be while you pray. Alright? Lies can come in interesting places. While Jesus was spending time with the disciples, it says Satan entered Judas' heart to betray Jesus. While he was there. It can happen at the weirdest times. But while I'm even praying, I get an idea. I'm going to go to A&E. I'm going to buy a cricket bat. And then I'm going to take Murray's landing. And I'm going to transform it with that cricket bat. Okay? Now that's my rhema. Okay? But now I see Jesus and how he lives. And I realize, whoa, whoa, whoa. That thought was not from God. And so I can say, Lord, I take this thought, I give it back to you. You know what? I actually forgive Murray for what he did. Okay? The logos and the rhema help one another. Are you with me? Right. By the way, that causes us a lot of trouble as well, the rhema word. A guy will go to a girl. And if you do it with one of the girls in our church, you're going to have problems with me. Alright? This is how it goes. The Lord told me, you must marry me. If you say that to a girl, you're going to have trouble in this church. Alright? You don't play the God pop card. What option does she now have? If she believes you. Okay? I knew, because the Lord told me, I mustn't go into a relationship with you. The Lord told me, that Janae is my wife. She wasn't going out with me. We haven't been going out for 3 years. I had to go and see whether that was a word from God by pursuing her, caring for her, loving for her, being a good man. And when she said yes to marry me, I said, Lord, you spoke to me that day. Are you with me? Don't say it. Don't go to infernos. You know what? I'm going to... Not a good idea. But the problem is, with some girls it will work. But if you do it, you're going to be in trouble. Can we agree? Right, let's go to the next slide. We're back, and that's where we're hearing the rhema. That was a long introduction. I think we can almost stop there, but let's go on. This is not long what we have after this. Let's go to the next slide. Avenues, ways in which the rhema word comes to you. Alright? Impressions, number one. What is the impression? What will be a good word for Afrikaans for impression? Wil jy sê gevoel nie, man? Any smart people here? Indruk. Wow. Daai is die beste ding wat ek nog gehoor het. Impression. Works for me, in my mind, at least. Not getting in languages, but... Okay. Who of you have experienced the following? You are having a day at work, nothing extraordinary that day, and you suddenly think of a friend. Where? Why am I thinking of this person? And then mostly, you don't give a lot of attention. Until later that day, you bump into that person. Like, it's just weird. Has someone happened to some of you before? Or you're thinking about someone, next thing, mix it. You could be both come there. Okay? Or what's up? Muhammad Yad. Okay? Happened to anyone before? An impression of an indruk in your heart. I can live with that. Is sometimes a way in which the Holy Spirit drops something on you. I've had so many examples where I thought of someone. And then normally is followed by this thought, let me just pray for their safety because I randomly thought of them. And so I prayed for them, speak to them later, I hear that they were having a terrible day, they were almost in an accident or their wife went to the hospital. Had it happened to you before? An impression in your heart. Okay? It's something that can be very subtle. It's not like someone coming up to you, shaking you, starting to speak to you. It's in your heart. And one must be quite self-aware of your spirit before God to pick these things up very clearly. Alright? We'll come to intercession on Monday nights. We make a nice circle here. And you're invited, by the way, if you want to know how to pray better, you want to grow in your prayer life, you want to learn how to pray more than 5 minutes, come join us. We sit here and then Theo will ask, does anyone have something on their heart? Is there something that's stuck in you today? You know what? Sometimes it's God. Did you know that? Sometimes it's Him speaking to you. Wanting you just to pray about it and then give it back to you, maybe leading you in that moment. Sometimes you can also describe it as a stray thought. Okay? You're doing one thing here. Oh, I think about this. It's like something interrupts your thoughts, interrupt what you were doing, impression. When you come to this stage, just a tip for you guys, and you start thinking about the same person, listen guys, I'm not talking to you dreaming about a girl, okay? That's for relationship man. I'm talking about you thinking about a friend or family member. It's like the third time the same day. Give attention. God is speaking to you. Pray for that person. Maybe God wants to touch them, bring them closer to Him. Maybe they need protection. It's amazing how God speaks to us. It's always so soft, you know. Shepherd-like. He speaks and He walks. He's not like hitting us with something over the head. We do that with ourselves enough. Alright? He speaks to us so gently. Interesting, the one day, just another example of impression. I went to have coffee with Warren, and I actually used this example as well in our previous series on the prophetic. And I was just, there was this one invitation rugby game thing that I was involved with. I just had a feeling that I should not be involved with it. I should not give more of my time to it. And when I went to Warren and we made coffee, he just said, I just feel you should do that. Impressions lining up, just randomly. And I thank you, Lord, that you were speaking to me. Okay? Sometimes that those random things are not random. It's God helping. Make sense? Impression your heart. Impression your emotion. This is something you ladies and moms know a lot more than me. But this is when sometimes God drops an emotion in your heart to feel what this person is feeling that's sitting next to you. Okay? Someone sitting next to you, taking you through their situation with maybe a loved one, maybe a home guard. And as they are talking and they seem to be okay, you start to cry. And like, hey, it's not happening in my life. Why am I crying and feeling all emotional? You know what? God is busy revealing to you what that person is going through. Make sense? Emotional impression. And let me just say this. Today, the media, the way life, the fast-paced life, the way it is set up, it is so good in taking that part of our lives away from us, stealing it. Something amazing will happen to someone and we won't even feel joy. We are caught up in some other program, some other thing. If we allow God our hearts, if we allow Him, we invite Him in, we'll realize that He actually attaches us emotionally to other people. And that is Him speaking to you. Make sense? Who's experienced this before? We get an indication. Okay? He moves our hearts. And often what He is saying to me, Vander, what you are feeling right now, that's how I am feeling about that person. Pray for them. Love them. Care for them in this situation. Be there for them. Because God's heart is grieved. He's not happy with what He said. Amen? Right. Let's move on. Impressions. Now, the next one, we're talking about the voice of God, the series, but there's a subsection called the voice of God. Okay, it just makes sense. Even though I have an impression, I will say, I think God said to me. Are you with me? That's just how we talk. We'll get to visions just now. God will show me a picture and I will say, God sent to me. So we talk about God talking, but when we take it down, He talks to us sometimes in silence. Are you with me? He talks to us in a picture. He talks to us through the Bible. Now this is Him talking to us, talking. Alright? We're talking about language. Sensing a sentence, sensing a word, right? First one is a still small voice. Who do you remember this from the prophetic series? Because we did this. So if I pass out or I have to go to the bathroom, just take over Lynette. I think you've got probably the notes from last time. But I just tweak it a bit because this month now is not focused on speaking through you, but speaking to you. Still small voice is the first one. Now, how does this differ from an impression? If I have to draw a distinction, you can write these two taglines with each of them. An impression or a voice is like I just said, it's more like dealing with a sentence, with a word, or with God speaking to you, but you remember a paragraph in your heart from the time of spending time with Him. I was lying on my university bed one day and I was reading a book and God said to me, it was not audible, it was in my heart, clearly I want you to stand for a certain leadership position in the university. Clearly He spoke to me. I got up, went to my computer, typed my CV out, printed it out, got two people to sign it and put it out. Done. God spoke to me clearly. There was not a picture involved. There was not an emotion involved. He spoke it to me and I knew it in my heart. Make sense? An impression, on the other hand, we are dealing with emotions. You see the face of someone. You've got a thought of someone. Okay, it's a bit more abstract, but it's still in your heart. Is that okay? Can we distinguish it like that? Alright? I don't know how I feel like I feel. Let me pray about it and then that's an impression. Always put your finger on it, but He's busy. So as you seek Him, it gets clearer. Amen? Right, now we have the voice of God. Still small voice. This is often soft and gentle. And let me just say this. The Bible is very clear about it. It says stir up spiritual gifts. It says a desire gifts. It says draw near to God. These things you probably won't hear if your desire is not to hear it, okay? I think that's a fair comment. But let me say the other way around. If you want to hear God's voice, you will hear it. Guaranteed. And God will help your friends to hear it in the beginning if He has to, but He will guide you one way or the other. Okay? Now, how this works is this is often what I find also makes it different than the impressions. This is often when I want to hear His voice. The impression hits me at random times, okay? I am now reading my Bible. And I prayed a prayer before I saw Him. I said, Lord, I've got this day before me. I don't know what this day holds. There's this week. There's this sermon series. There's Caleb's birthday. There's all these things. I don't even know what's happening. Please speak to me. I've invited Him, but now I'm reading my Bible. It can be while I'm reading, it can be afterwards if I'm praying. But as I am looking onto Him, I receive something from Him. Okay? Not limited to that, but for me that's often how it works. I am now listening. I am now worshipping closer and closer. I want to know You. I have my eyes on Him. And then often there's these gentle leadings. I want You to do this, I want You to do that. Okay? It's soft. And it's okay, because it's gentle and sometimes it's not in the Bible, okay? The specific leading, right? You can get a sentence come to you, God says, pack up your stuff and go. What does that mean? You're not sure. You got a sentence, that's alright. Okay, what we've also learned last year with the prophetic series, sometimes God gives the next part of the puzzle to your friend or someone in small group. That you've got one thing, you hold on to that, and then it develops, God was speaking to you, for example, He wants you to go on missions. Alright, something like that. Make sense? It's okay to say, hey, I'm not sure, I'm experiencing something. Speak to someone. in church loves the Lord, so they can pray with you. Alright? Now, let's go on. Internal audible voice. This thing's got its own subsection, just because it's a bit different than the still small voice. I will almost move my example from standing for that leadership position into this category. How this is different is, in the first one, you might be wanting to hear something from God. You're already positioned. You're sitting right here. Maybe God is speaking to you right now about something in your life, but you are yet to hear, so you're not surprised. Internal audible voice, it's like you're doing one thing. God draws a line through it and your thought is or something else. It hits you like a bus. You are busy reading this book or doing some other thing, and then the next moment, boom, something hits your thought so hard God is speaking to you. It can be one word. It can be forgive that person. It can be that he's given you impressions, spoken softly. Now this is getting to a stage he needs you to forgive that person, so he speaks loud. And it interrupts something. We've experienced that before. Okay. Can the enemy, the devil, speak to you in that fashion as well? Yes, he can. You know what it's called? Starts with a T. Who wants to take a guess? Temptation. Okay? Hits you normally like that. You're busy doing one thing, next moment, boom! You see something on a magazine you're not supposed to see, and you have to deal with that thought. You need to put it away, you need to beat it right there. He loves using that. Okay? But we can distinguish between the two. That's what we're here for. Right. Everyone comfortable, everyone with me? Internal audible voice. Normally when the enemy comes with temptations like that, it's very easy to discern it. Very easy. It's often hard to obey God, because the temptation is what it is. It's tempting. It looks good for our hearts. But normally we know, hey, this is not from God. Hey, run, make a move, phone someone, pray. I don't know what you do. Do a burpee. Just do something. But get away from the temptation. Take a shower. Ice bucket. Ice bucket challenge in your house. Just do something. Okay? But when God speaks, it's often something that inspires you. But it might frighten you, but you will know this is the right thing to do. So what will it take to obey God? Faith. I don't know how this will work out if I obey Him. But I'm going to obey Him. That is called faith. Taking a step into uncertainty, faith. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. Faith is required in our journey. Okay? But what you can know is that this word is from God. If you speak to someone, test it with this word, take it to your small group, and come to church next week, because we're going to go specifically through how you test these things. Alright? Enough of that for now. The audible voice of God, it is not an internal audible voice. It is when God speaks and we hear it. As that has happened before. Moses heard God in the burning bush, alright? Jesus got baptized, God spoke. Everyone could hear, He is my son, I am well pleased, and listen to Him. God spoke audibly on the mountain to Jesus when Elijah was there, alright? And He was spoken again, this is my son which I have delight to listen to Him, alright? Can God still speak audibly today for us to hear? Yeah, of course. He can do what He wants. Hasn't happened to me. I'm open for it. But it can happen. Maybe one of you, some of you have heard God before. He can speak like that as He please. But it is what I find, great obedience, great miracles happen, great things happen with people obeying the Holy Spirit and the Word without hearing the audible voice. It's not needed. Okay? Because we are looking for the voice of God. When you hear the audible voice of God, you don't test it. Okay? Because if it's audible, the people around you would have heard it as well. then it's done. Okay, it's it. But if you hear the audible voice, which is not God, I'm telling you, there's some other things that can speak as well. But you'll know it is not God. Don't worry about that. Everyone with me? Great. Number three. Can we quickly just go back to the first two? When we announced the theme, hearing the voice of God, most of you would have thought one and two. Just quickly, yeah, impressions and voice of God. Most of you would have thought about that, myself included. Let's include quickly dreams and visions, and let's talk about it for 1 second. God uses dreams. Did you know that? It's in the Bible. In the last days, it says, I will pour out my spirit. And then it says the young men will have dreams and the old men will prophesy, and so it goes on. Okay? It's biblical. God uses dreams, even in the Old Testament. Through dreams, massive things have happened before. Alright? The king had a dream, a Christian interpreted it, and you know what? Miracles happened. God still uses dreams today. There's some people in this church that God speaks through mightily with dreams. One of them is an anointed. Okay? Okay? And there's more. Who's the dreamers? Hands up. Okay? You know, that's meaningful. Don't you know that? My wife had a dream last night that she needs to share with one of you. It's not, I can't share that with the mic, but that's... She's also a dreamer. She gets dreams. When I don't dream a lot, I sleep. Okay? But when I dream, I think enough when I'm awake. Alright? When I dream, I pay attention. And you know when it's God speaking because you remember that dream. You remember that word. You get goosebumps as I'm saying these things because you know what that voice sounded like, how the grass felt like. That's a God dream. Alright? That's not you were thinking while you're sleeping. God speaking to you. Pay attention. Now, you can have a literal dream. Now, examples you get about this is very elementary stuff up to very spiritual things. Something like, let's say I get a dream about Chris moving to another house. Okay? And in the dream we moved to a house and it was a good thing. Next day randomly he says to me, you know what, I'm thinking of moving my house. We've got this opportunity, I'm not sure. I say, you know what, I had a dream about you moving your house. Confirmation done. Okay? God uses it. It can be very literal, just like that. Is that clear enough? Make sense? Oh, one of the times I had a dream, one of the few times, I had a dream that Ben, he's not here tonight, one of the right players, hurt his left knee. Some of you know this testimony. But the dream was so real, I was crying. I don't know why I'm crying, because he hurt his knee. It wasn't like his leg was lying there or something. He was just, ouch, okay, there's something happening. And in the dream, I was crying. So God was giving me an emotional impression with it as well. I was connecting emotionally and everything. I spoke to him the next day. I said, I dream that you hurt your knee. And so he asked me the question, this is what does it mean? Oh, I give all the wrong answers. I'm like, oh, maybe there's something happening in the spirit, you know what? And God is going to protect you, don't worry. 10 days later, on the practice field, he hugs his leg out, his knee, same knee, left knee, out. A moment like that, literal. You go to him, you pray for his leg, he gets up and he practices on. Literal dream. Never happened to me before. That was last year, haven't happened again. God was just showing off. Showing to me that he wants me to dream more. Okay? So I also want to be a dreamer. Next year when we say, where's the dreamers? My hands up. Literal dream. Just plain and simple. It is what it is. Anyone had a literal dream before that happened? It's not spooky. You're not weird. You're not better than other people. It's God speaking to you. Is somebody yelling off into the people don't get born with stuff. Okay, it's just God speaking and loving the world through you. Okay? Then you get a symbolic dream. Listen. These arty people, they can get weird dreams. Then it's someone hanging, and then there's a spider, and then there's someone painting with blue, and then there's a bus, and then they're watching a movie, and I'm just, whoa. That's symbolic dreams. No one knows what's going on in their dreams. Okay? God knows. But sometimes it's attached to a feeling that there's joy because God is there. Or this demon group, and there is fear. Okay? God uses these things to warn us. Now, this will differ for all of us. For example, who's like very scared of snakes? Like really, hands up. Okay. Like grill, ek haat slang. Okay? Alright, there's a few hands. Now, if you get a dream with 20 snakes crawling over you, how are you gonna feel? It's gonna suck, okay? It's not gonna be a good dream. You're not gonna wake up and think, I wanna make some coffee, I'm in such a great mood. You're gonna be distressed, especially if it's one of those God dreams where you know every single detail. Now, this stuff that freaks me out like rats, okay? I don't like a good old stinky rat. But I'm okay with a snake, okay? If there's a snake in your house, phone me. If I find a rat, I'll phone you, okay? So, if I get a dream with snakes, it's not going to frighten me. I'm just going to walk out the room in the dream and carry on, okay? But for you, snakes, it's a weird thing. It's a scary thing. So, when God gives you a dream with a snake, it might be that you need to pray for your protection. Alright? It might be that God is saying to you, you've got fears in your life. Let's deal about it. Even if he doesn't name them, even if you just come out of your dream and say, I was afraid in my dream, God is speaking to me to speak about fear. Do you know that fear is a really terrible thing? It's not a good thing. It steals your faith. Do you know that? Alright? Fear sucks. That's what it does. Now, you go to your friend, you don't even have to name the fear. You can just say, I feel God is saying to me in my dream that I've got fear. And as you pray together, it comes out. Alright? A symbolic dream. For another person, a dream about a snake will be, they will catch it and make a meal with it or something. It differs with all of us. Who had symbolic dreams before? Sometimes you die in your dreams. Terrible, eh? And you wake up and you remember it vividly. Now, you are under the sound of my voice. This is what you do. You wake up and you say, Lord, my life is in your hands. I am terrified. I'm afraid. I dream I'm dying. I'm just telling, Lord, you know the number of my days. I pray a protection over my life. I pray a wall of protection over me and my family. And right now, Lord, I'm protected by your hand. Lead that dream you have dealt with. Now. Alright? Symbolic dream. If you have a symbolic dream, last point on this, and you don't know what it means, let's say, you know what, you're causing me to be so creative here, and I'm sometimes put myself in the corner with these examples. But let me think another one. Let's say you get a dream, and you are dreaming about a spinnaker. You don't know what it means. You weren't terribly terrified. You weren't terribly happy to see the spider. But it was a spider. Just pray to God about the spider. He knows what it resembles. So maybe he just needed you to mention and walk away. Enough. You don't have to figure the whole thing out. Do you see what I'm saying? You can just say, it's like this, okay? This engineering company, Zonky. Which apparently means everything, engineering, right? Now, I don't know anything about engineering, so Bates gives me an instruction to give that guy. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, say for me, Scrooge, okay. So I walk across to Zonk Engineering and I say, listen, Bates said there's Scrooge. I don't know what it is, but there's Scrooge. Done. Prayer done, message done, they connected with Bates, Scrooge is done. It can be with God, the spider, the weird paint, the rat, whatever. Just take it to God. That is the part of God speaking to me. I don't need to know the details. But I deal with it by speaking to Him. Make sense? Done. Right. Dreams of visitation of angels. Difficult one. This is a dream where you experience Jesus. It's one of those dreams you don't think you're dreaming, you know, appearing to you and speaking to you. Okay? It happened to me a few times when I feel in my dreams I had angelic visitations, rock my world, rock my heart. I know one night I was dreaming there was robbers in the house where I was standing in Wellington, and I was frightened, and there was just angels telling me to tell them to go. I said, you must go in the dream, and the robbers went. I wasn't even saved back then. I was still in primary school. Powerful dream. I know that God was with me since that day, even though I don't even follow him. Okay? These are dreams. They come in a different category. You don't wonder what happened there. Something rocked your world that night in your dream. Who experienced that before? It's God. If you're unsure, speak to someone about it. Pray for it. Because you know what? Let God, give God the platform to give you more dreams like that. Alright? This is from God. The enemy likes to take our dreams as well. And it's good to say, Lord, I take my time, my sleep time, I say my nights belong to you. Speak to me in my dreams. Enough of dreams I don't need in my life. Enough of fear, whatever. Here's my life. Here's my night. Speak to me in the evening. He even wants to speak to you while you're sleeping. That's how much he loves you. Isn't that amazing? Wow. Right, last one. Visions. Now we put them in three categories. It's kind of easy to describe them. Now, with all of these, you see how many avenues there is in which God can speak to us. Okay, we're talking about rhema words. Are you still with me? These are special meanings about circumstances not named in the Bible. Alright? I'm just helping you again. Like, we know from the Bible it is good to marry, right? But who am I going to marry? Alright? Well, that's okay. If you're a guy, you marry a girl, please. If you're a girl, you marry a guy. Let's start there. But there's many women in God's Lord. Okay, we're talking about the rainbow word. Above and beyond what's in the Bible. With me. Right. A glimpse in the spirit is when you pray. Once again, these don't jump on you. Maybe number three, but not one or two. You won't see a vision or a picture if you don't position yourself to see it. Alright? So please don't sit here and say, oh, but God doesn't want to talk to me in visions. I never see these things. No, just relax and seek him. Seek his face. He will show it to you. Okay? We actually practice it in our small group. So we get someone to stand up and we say, alright, we've got 20 seconds. Everyone closes their eyes, pray softly, and then we open our eyes. You must say to that person what you have experienced in your heart. Sometimes it's a picture, sometimes it's a scripture, sometimes it's a word. So we practice it. It can be practiced. Did you know that? Okay? So we will help you get into a small group. That's next step. Now, a glimpse in the spirit is when you see a picture, mainly static. Alright? For example, we are praying for someone, and we're praying for Theo, and I'm praying, Lord. Listen, I don't want to pray for his cat, okay? I don't want to pray for... I don't know, I'm going to pray for his wife and stuff like that. He prays for me every day. Okay? If God leads me, I will. Okay? I don't want to pray for, obviously, I want to pray for something from God. I want a word from God. Alright? For him. Now I see a picture of a fountain. Okay? Now, God showed me a picture of a fountain, but in the Bible it also says when the Holy Spirit fills you, you will be a fountain running over. So now because I saw just a picture of a fountain, a fountain, see a picture of a fountain, and I know my encouragement for him is, Theo, God wants to use you so mightily that you flow over to other people. Still image. Just like that. Maybe sometimes what people often see is a tree, or people often see a heart. That's just how God works with us. Sometimes people see an airplane, which sometimes means God wants to use you, go places or whatever. Still picture. Who's seen something like that before? Okay, it's not jump up before your face. You sense it in your heart. God's giving you a picture because our language is not enough to take in everything He has for us. Right? So He gives us one picture which you can write about a whole page. That's how smart God is and economically viable. Okay? One picture, many words. He knows He needs to speak to you quickly because if He starts giving all these things, you forget it. Okay? So He shows you this picture, you remember it all your life. The first vision someone had for me, I was 18 years old. And the lady came to me and said, she saw a picture of me being a horse. And God wants to use me to go places for Him. I will never forget it. My whole life. Okay, I have many other visions I forgot. It's been accomplished in my life and stuff. But that was the first one. I will never forget it. It's the horse. Okay? Now, a developing vision is a bit different. And the best example I remember is actually a picture that Chris saw. Remember that one? What was that again? Can you remember it?
Yeah.
Can you quickly come and share? Or we spot? I had it for you. I ask you because you're probably the fastest person in this room. I thought you could make the graph bigger. A developing vision is not typically something that's still, like, boom, a tree. It's something that, as God shows you something, it actually, something is moving. Now, you can willfully stop giving attention to God and you'll miss that information, alright? Or you can keep your heart on it and then something will develop. So this has happened in our small room one evening. And Chris is like me when it comes to dreams. Chris is not the one with five visions every small room. I must say that. Okay? That will leave to the else. We'll let them else. Okay? But Chris came up with this and we just knew it was God because He's not the one that every time, there's other ways in which Chris needs strong. But this was really something. It was a moment in our small group. So you can share with us.
So one of the guys that was in our small group, we started praying for a vision or a word for this guy, and it just was so vivid. And what started happening, I saw the guy sitting at the well, and it was like a camera just moved with him, and he reached into a well, taking God's word from the well, and started reading. And as he read, the camera, just to, I call it a camera shot, but the view went from front to back, and as the view changed, he saw all the people there, you know, praising and worshiping. This guy is actually bringing a good word and changing people's life by reaching into the well, which is also, God says, if you're tired and exhausted, come to the well. So he was tired, but God used him to reach into the well, and while reaching into the well, he started helping other people. So that's basically summary of it.
Awesome. Thanks, Chris. Yes. So that is something that Chris didn't expect to happen. Like, Lord, please give me a vision that developed. It's something that the Holy Spirit comes in now. It was precious for that person telling you that. Developing vision. Make sense? Anyone experienced that before? Oh, I did ask. There was a few. Okay. I normally see a developing vision of me buying a steak and then eating it, you know. And it's at that time when I have to phone someone. The other says bright. Now, an open vision is another thing. It doesn't matter where you look or whether you pay attention. You will see what God wants you to see. Alright? This is also something that God can show to more than one person at one time. You know, you can decide which category it falls, but you know, sometimes maybe the visitation of an angel, what is God using? Is He showing you something? Is the angel really there? Sometimes we don't know. What about Paul, you know, looking into the third heaven, Damascus Road? This is unavoidable, okay? When God wants to show you this, He will show it to you. I've never been captured by open vision. I'm open for it. But it is a way of hearing God's leading. Or seeing it. Anybody? Okay? It does happen. God is amazing. Isn't he amazing? Amen? He speaks in so many ways. He's so smart. He can speak a sermon through a picture of a tree or a fountain because it's so rich in information. And God just, he's just awesome. Guys, and that's our unity. Prophetic impressions, number one, is what we spoke about. The voice of God, dreams and visions. Okay? Someone learned something tonight? Yes. Next week, how do I know this is God speaking to me? Tonight we're talking about ways we gather information. All these things, impressions, and the voice of God, dreams. Was this really God? I'm confused. Okay, we've all asked that before. Next week, we're going into ways we can evaluate whether it was God speaking to us. And this is how we're going to do it. I'll give you a quick heads up. I'm going to give you a few ways by which you can evaluate whether it was God speaking to you. And if it was God, alright, every one of those measuring tools, alright, will be positive. If one doesn't work out, it's not God. Alright? So that will help us with some certainty. Because you know what? It's so powerful when you can say, God speak. God spoke to me clearly. I'll tell you what happened. Just one last example is, in my life, I was, some of you know the story, please bear with us, but Junae, my wife, we actually went out in high school and we didn't know the Lord. And when God, you know, came into my life, at the same time, he also took Junae's heart, you know, and made it new. And we decided, it's not good for us to just carry on. Let's take time apart. Let's discover God. But we were still young. We were 18. Well, how old do you get a matric? 18 or 17? 18, okay? So for 3 years, we were not together. And that was not a good time for us in school. We overstepped many boundaries. It hurt my heart. It hurt her heart. It hurt us and as individuals. And there was a lot of pain that God was healing. And so often I would get the idea that Junae is my wife, but I would fight against it in those times in university because I would think in my mind that that's something, it's a time in my life I must walk away from. So I would often get an impression and I would say, God, this is not from you, I'm giving it back to you. Alright? Doing the best I can with what I know. And I carried on like that for a long time. And then one day I'm studying. Now, I'm studying my final exam for biokineticism. I've got a book. Okay. You guys know those things. It's got every little bone, every little muscle in the body. Starts, ankle, knees, everything. And I can't stop thinking about, guess who? Junae. I'm like, Lord, these stray thoughts that's coming into my mind when I'm studying for my final exam, I am tired. How am I going to get through this book? Get ankles and knees into my head if I can't get Junae out of my head. And I give it to God. It was in one study session, I just broke down. And God spoke to me with an internal audible voice. Firstly, it was just impressions, and then it became clear. Boom, it's your wife. Wake up. Okay? And I'm crying, Lord, what's going on here? I've been fighting against this for so long. Now, what I didn't do is go to her. What God told me, you've got no decision, no way out of it. You are my wife. If I did that, she would take off her shoe and she would smack me back into my car. So I was a bit smart because there was pastors and standard pastors that helped me with this. Okay, so I'm helping you. In any case, so sometimes God speaks to us in one way and then he speaks to us in another way to make sure we get it. But I want to make a promise to you. If you love him, you want to follow him, you won't miss out. Will find a way to speak to him. He says, my sheep hears my voice. And I'm glad he caused me to listen. Amen? Let's stand up tonight.